too bad that guy has no talent, huh? Thank you, Nolan. That's awesome. Folks, we are in the midst of this worship series called Now Is the Time. And the last several weeks, if you've been around or maybe you haven't been around, we've been talking about how in our lives there are those moments where we are stretched, where we're pushed out into the unknown, we're pushed into situations that seem impossible, improbable, where we feel stuck. And we believe as a church family, it's in those moments where God is right there and God is looking at you and me and God is saying, now is the time. I want to do something new in you and through you. And so over the last few weeks, here's what we've been talking about. We talked about how we all have messes. We all, every one of us has messes in our lives. But when we feel stuck in those situations where the future looks unknown, sometimes we can feel as though we're the only one with messes. Everybody else's life is perfect. God doesn't have the time of day for my mess. But we talked about how our messes may be problems for us, but they are never problems for who? For God. Never problems for God. We also talked about in those moments where the unknown is ahead of us and we're stuck, how it can be scary. It can be scary. But we talked about how rather than living insecure, God wants you to live knowing you are in secure hands. You're in God's secure hands always. And then last week we talked about when we get stuck and it seems like we're stuck forever, we have this tendency, all of us, to sort of drift. We drift from who we are. We drift from who God created us to be. Sometimes our morals drift, our values drift. But we talked about how we may drift, but God is not a drifter. In fact, it's in those now is the time moments that God is actually coming closer to you than you could ever imagine. Now, whether you've been here the last few weeks or not, here's what you need to know. We are talking about these now is the time moments again and again and again because here's what we believe about those now is the time moments in our life. Your story is defined by now is the time moments. When you look back at the story of your life, the moments you remember are now is the time moments where you are stretched, where you are pulled, where you're pushed into the unknown. I know this because my life has been defined by now is the time moments. So I came into this world in a now is the time moment. My parents said now is the time and conceived me. And I'm pretty certain that's the same for you, unless you were an accident, okay? Right? My parents said, now is the time. God said to them, you've got so much love, you've got to share this love. And so they gave birth to me. And here's the funny thing, they weren't ready for it. In fact, I know my dad was a little terrified. My dad was in school still. They had no sort of steady employment. But God said, now is the time. Eventually, I went off to school. I graduated from high school, and I went off to college. I wasn't ready for college. In fact, I almost failed my first class in college. I hope I'm not the only one. But somehow, I made it through. God said, now is the time. I graduated from college, and I married who was my sweetheart, my college sweetheart at the time. I took my first job working at a church. I left that job and went to work for Microsoft. I wasn't prepared for any of that. But God said, now is the time. God said, now is the time. In fact, there have been some sad now is the time moments in my life as well. Some of you know that a part of my story is I went through a divorce. And looking back on that, I now believe that was God saying, now is the time. I want to do something new in your life. Well, eventually, I would actually go to my boss at Microsoft, and I would tell them something that seemed absolutely ridiculous and insane to them. I said, I'm leaving this really comfortable job here at Microsoft to go to seminary. And do you know what they said? What's that? I said, I'm going to study to be a pastor, and you should have seen the looks on their faces. It made no sense. It was stupid. But God said, now is the time. It was at seminary that I met the most beautiful woman I've ever laid my eyes on. She is smart. She was way out of my league. And God said, hurry up. Now is the time. Marry her. And luckily I did. I listened to God's call. And eventually we had kids. We weren't ready for kids. And then about 7, 8 years ago, I got a call on the phone from a church called Calvary. And they said, now is the time. We believe God is calling you to this place. We were comfortable in the Twin Cities. And there was a lot unknown about coming here to Alec. But God said, now is the time. Here's what I know about your life and my life. When we look back at our life, it's those now is the time moments that define us. It's those now is the time moments where we are stretched, where we're pushed into the unknown. And for God, it has always been that way. If you've been around the church for a while and you know the story of the Bible, there's a guy named Abraham in the Old Testament. God looked at Abraham and said, now is the time. Abraham lived in Babylon. He had grown up in Babylon. All he knew was Babylon. He had raised his family there. But God said, now is the time. I've got a new land, a new place for you. I'm sure Abraham said, that's ridiculous. Moses, God said to Moses, now is the time. Moses was living in Egypt. He was an Israelite. All the Israelites were made slaves in Egypt, some 2 million of them. Moses was just a shepherd there. But God spoke to him and said, now is the time, Moses. I want you to confront this big, bad, evil Pharaoh and lead my people to the promised land. Moses gave every excuse in the book. And finally today, we're going to look at a story about Peter. Jesus looked at Peter and said, now is the time. Now is the time. You see, these moments in our life, these now is the time moments are moments when we are stretched. In fact, here's what I think God's doing. God invites us to leave behind the things we think make us feel secure and step into our fears. That's what these now is the time moments are all about. In the story of Peter, God says now is the time to Peter. We hear this story. It goes like this. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, the disciples. And what was he doing? He was walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And I imagine they were like, really? This is really Jesus? People don't walk on water. And so Peter, I think he was sarcastic, said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. He said, Peter, now is the time. Get out of the boat. Then Peter got out of the boat. He walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat, those disciples, they worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Jesus said to Peter, now is the time. Get out of the boat. And you better believe that that was a defining moment in Peter's life. He never, ever forgot that. I mean, folks, imagine you're out on Lake Lahamadu with your family on a boat, right? And here comes Jesus walking on the water. And here's what I know. He was probably walking from Zorba's. Jesus, in my mind, spends a lot of time at Zorba's. He was walking across the lake and he says, hey, you, get out of the boat. You better believe that would be a defining moment in your life. Jesus said, now is the time, Peter, get out of the boat. And stretched him. You see, these now is the time moments in our life, they always stretch us, they pull us, they push us into the unknown, into places we think are improbable, maybe even impossible. They're moments where we look at God and we go, why in the world would I do that? Why would I do that? We might ask, why are those moments like that? Why would God do that? You see, there are some people who read the story of the Bible, stories like Abraham, Moses, and Peter, these moments where God says, get out of the boat. And they read it and they say, well, I think that God is testing us in those moments. God was testing Abraham. God was testing Moses. See how good their faith really was. Did they have enough faith to follow? Other people would say that for God, there's this, if you do this, then I will do this sort of relationship between us and God. And it's in those moments that God's proving that. If you are faithful, then I will reward you. If you do as I command, then you will receive riches and protection and wealth. Here's what I got to say about both of those. Nothing could be further from the truth. So what's God up to in those now is the time moments? Here's what I believe. When God stretches us and nudges us into the unknown, do you know what God is actually doing? God is immersing us in God's grace. Every time, I believe, God is showering us in God's grace. You think of the story of Abraham. Not only did God give Abraham a new land, but God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and bless your descendants. I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to have more descendants than there are stars in the skies, God said. God showered Abraham with blessing. God's with Moses, when God said, now is the time to Moses, not only did God use Moses to lead God's people out of slavery, but while they were out in the wilderness wandering, they had nothing to their name. And God showered them with grace. God gave them all the food they could ever need, gave them water, gave them protection from their enemies, even gave them a few rules so they don't kill each other on that big road trip they had. You see, and I believe that's the same with Peter. Jesus said, get out of the boat. And you know, when Peter started to sink, do you remember what happened? Jesus what? Caught him. You see, God's always there showering us with God's grace. You see, this church, you need to know something about this church. If you're new, or maybe you've been here for a long time and you already know this, this church was built on now is the time moments, where God again and again showered this church with God's grace. Now, whether you've been here forever or you're new to this church, I'm going to give you just a little history lesson to prove my point. Here's some dates. In 1877, this church was founded. And here's what you need to know. People flocked to this part of the country back in the late 1800s because of a thing called the Homestead Act. Anyone who landed in this part of the country was given 160 acres absolutely free if they were going to live on that land for 5 years. And so there were all these poor immigrants from Norway and Sweden who came to this space because, well, I'm a Norwegian. We Norwegians and Swedes love a good deal, right? And so they came to this part of the country, and here's what I believe happened. God said, now is the time. You got to build a church. And they said, we don't have any money. We can't build a church. We have nothing to our name. Well, here's what happened. God said, now is the time, and made it happen. There were some Swedes that were sort of fraternizing with the Norwegians, and they said, neither of us can do this alone, so let's try this together. And so you know what they did? They built a church together. They didn't worship at the same time. Oh, no. But they built a church together. And I'm sure there were people who said, over my dead body, we're going to build a church with the Norwegians. Right? That's like sleeping with the enemy. But God said, now is the time. And it happened. And then God showered this church with God's blessing. And we know that because in 1885, this church had grown so much that they needed their own building. And so do you know what they did? They had no money. In fact, in 1885, the history book says they were paying the pastor in eggs, firewood, hay, and meat. Don't get any ideas. They had nothing to their name. But somebody talked to the Norwegians and said, hey, we'll buy you out for $600. I'm sure there were people who said, we can't afford that. But God said, now is the time, and showered this congregation with blessing. You know why I know that? Because again, in 1908, they had outgrown that building. And again, they needed to build a new church. And so they had plans drawn up for a new church. It was going to cost now $4,000 to build a new church. They said, we don't have that kind of money. And they did a bunch of fundraising. They only raised $2,000. People said, we can't afford that. But God said, now is the time. And showered this church with God's blessing, God's grace, again and again and again. In 1947, again, they had outgrown their building. And God said, now is the time. And so they put together a committee in 1947 to start fundraising. Do you know that they did fundraising for years in order to raise enough money so that the bank would even give them a loan? And that's when they built this beautiful building here. Because God said, now is the time, and showered this church with God's blessing. In the 1980s, there was this absolutely crazy pastor by the name of Marv Larson who came to town. I can say that because I love him. Marv came to town, and he and a bunch of members of the council, they said, we should start buying up houses on this block. This block was filled with houses. The church was the only other building. He said, God said, now is the time. I'm sure people said, we're going to buy what? Houses? But they had the vision to see that this church was going to continue to be showered in God's blessing. At the same time, this church decided they were going to change the name. Actually, that was before. That was back in 47. They changed the name of this church from Svea, the Swedish name, to Calvary. I'm sure people said, over my dead body, you're going to change the name of my church. In the 1990s, there came another great pastor. His name was Keith Forrester. And if you know Keith, you know he's an amazing storyteller. And people flocked to this church, so much so that they ran out of space. And it was proposed, we're going to add a balcony to the church. And I'm sure people said, what are you going to do to our sanctuary? We're going to add a balcony. And God said, now is the time. And in 2013, we needed $700,000 of repairs to our church building. There was some deferred maintenance and some improvements we wanted to make. Do you know, in 1 month, we raised commitments of $950,000. We exceeded our goal. God showered us with God's blessing. And today, we sit as a church family where 700, sometimes 800 people gather for worship each and every week. We have a $1.1 million operating budget, and we as a church family have absolutely no debt. This church was built on now is the time moments where God stretched us beyond what we thought we could do, and then God showered us with God's blessing. Well, here's what we get to announce today. Today, we are launching one of those now is the time moments in our church family. We are launching what we're calling the Now is the Time Appeal. And here's what we want to do. We want to give a blessing to this community. We want to give a gift to our community. We want to do this. We want to expand and renovate our church building. We've been talking about this for 3 years as a church family. We want to expand and renovate so that we create more space in the right kind of space so we can lead all people in this community to faith in Jesus Christ through our church family. Here's what we're going to do. We want to add 10,000 square feet to the south of our church. We want to renovate 17,000 square feet of our church building. The sanctuary will remain relatively untouched. In the new space, there will be a worship multi-purpose space that will be designed for modern worship. It'll seat 500 people, but it'll also, around round tables, you'd be able to seat 250 people. We're going to add a big, wide-open gathering space. So as you leave and you enter our building, there's space to get connected with people. We're going to add a kitchen on the main floor. We're going to renovate the preschool so we can reach more kids, more families with the love of Christ. And on the second floor, we're going to remodel that space so there's more multi-purpose space, both for our community and for us as a church. We're launching the Now is the Time Appeal, and it's a 5-year appeal where we're going to attempt to raise $5 million over and above our regular giving. And here's the thing. This is really important. This is over and above our regular giving. If all of us just say we're going to slide our regular giving into the building project, we'll have a really beautiful building, but we'll have to close it down. Here's the deal. This appeal is going to be a 5-year appeal raising $5 million. So what are we asking you today? Well, here's what we know. This is one of those now is the time moments where God is stretching us. Stretching us. Some of you, many of you, maybe even most of you, are so generous with our church family. You give on a regular basis. Just maybe this appeal is going to stretch you a bit. Maybe God is going to tap you on the shoulder and say, I think you and I, we can do more. For others of you who haven't experienced the joy of generosity, maybe this is God saying to you, hey, now is the time. I want you to get out of the boat. Trust me on this. We're going to do something great together. Here's the thing. This appeal is going to launch today. And I'm asking you to do three things. The leaders of this church are asking you to do three things. The first thing is this. Would you pray? Would you pray for what God is going to do on the soil to the south of our building? I think God has big dreams, and God's going to do things we never thought possible. Would you pray? Would you do that for me? Nod your head if you're still awake. Would you do that? Second thing I'm going to ask you to do is, would you pray? Would you pray for what God's going to do through you over the next 4 weeks? Would you pray about how you're going to participate? Pray about your contribution to this appeal. Would you do that for me? Nod your head. Thank you. And lastly, in your bulletin, would you pull out this? It's a pledge card. Would you pull that card out? Just humor me here. Pull that out. There are two sides to this pledge card. On one side is the general fund pledge. Now, every year, this time of year, we invite you to consider what your gift might be to the church to keep the ongoing ministry of the church going. That's your one-year pledge. We invite you to fill that out first. That is most important. Fill that out first. And in fact, if you're going to pick one or the other, pick that one. On the other side is your pledge to this building appeal. It's a 5-year commitment. We ask you, after you're done praying, fill this out. You can fill out this card or do it online. And would you return it to the church by what we're calling Commitment Sunday? Commitment Sunday will be on September 29th. At that time, we're going to celebrate big all that God is doing through all of you. And then between September 29th and October 13th, we're going to add these all up. And we're going to report back to the congregation on October 13th how we did. And we're going to take the next steps to charge forward and listen to God's call. Now, a couple things you should know. This church, in the DNA of our church family, is generosity. And so a small portion of everything you give, about 5%, a little less than 5%, is going to go to our endowment fund. And that fund has always been used to pay for the education of people who follow the call to ministry. I get to report to you that we have 8 members of our church family who will be enrolled in seminary this next year. How about a round of applause for that? It's awesome. It's awesome. And so we're going to put that money aside in our endowment fund so that anybody who wants to follow the call to ministry can do that. There's a shortage of pastors in our church body. The second thing I get to share with you is in our congregation, I know there are some people who might be saying, $5 million? Really? Little old Calvary? Well, we have in our congregation some Peters. Some Peters who have stepped forward. They're people who like to get out of the boat early. And we gathered them together last month along with our council, along with our staff, and we asked them to make their commitments early to this project. And I get to report to you that we already, as of today, have over $3 million in commitments already. We can do this. We can do this. God is saying, now is the time. Well, here's the deal. Here's what I know is, for some of you, it would be natural, it would be human maybe even, to sit here today and go, ugh, it's just the church asking for money again, picking our pockets. Here's what I want you to hear. It's never, ever been about that here at Calvary. Over the history of our church, it's never been about that. It's always been about God stretching us, moving us beyond our security, which is our money, to do things we could not do alone for the sake of God's ministry and mission in this community. Now, if you're feeling a little weird about this, a little uncomfortable, would you just do this for me? Would you just pray? Would you pray about what God's going to do through this project? Would you pray for what God might do through you? Praying costs nothing. Would you do that for me? And if you're really, really having a hard time with this, as a service to you, I'd be willing to fill out your pledge card for you. You might want to pray. Here's the deal. We all have moments in our lives. It was true in the biblical world where God said, now is the time. God stretched people beyond what they thought they could do. And then God showered them with God's blessing. It's true. It was true way back when, and it's true for us as well. As I close today, I want you to pull out this little jar of dirt. Again, this is dirt from the soil to the south of our building. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to take this home and put it in one of two places. I want you to put it either on your dining room table or put it on your nightstand. And every time you see this over the next month, would you offer up a prayer? Would you offer up a prayer for what God's going to do on this soil and what God is going to do through you? So would you do this for me? If you're here with a spouse or a friend or your kids, would you take this and would you hold it together? Like, put your hands together and hold it together as a family. If you're here alone, maybe introduce yourself to your neighbor. If that feels uncomfortable, do it yourself. Right? And we're going to offer a prayer. Gracious God, we know that in our lives, you say now is the time, and you stretch us and you push us. You say now is the time, and every time you do that, you shower us with your blessing. It's true in our own lives. It was true in the lives of those biblical characters, and it's been true in this church again and again. And so God, today as we hold these little jars of soil, God, we pray for what you're going to do on the soil to the south of this church. And we pray for what you're going to do through us. Fill us with your generosity so that we might too be showered with your grace and your mercy and your love. God, we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Church attendance on the decline.
U.S. church membership down sharply in the past two decades.
As churches close, a way of life fades.
Minnesota's mainline Christian denominations face unprecedented declines.
Fewer ministers, heavier burden.
Fastest growing religion is none.
From headlines in the news, the story of the church can seem rather bleak.
Our story is different. Rather than decline, we see growth all around us. Faith is alive and well at Calvary. One of the reasons for this growth is that we are clear. God has given us a mission, and that mission is to lead all people to a lifelong faith in Jesus Christ. No matter who you are or where you've been, you are welcome at Calvary. Everybody's welcome. And we believe there are three ingredients to a lifelong faith: worship, connect, serve.
Over the past 6 years, each and every year, our worship attendance has grown by 7%. Christmas attendance this year was up by 28%. On Easter, attendance was up 25%. And alongside all this, general fund giving has grown by an average of 11% annually for the past 6 years.
God's nowhere near done with us yet. At this rate, weekly worship attendance will surpass 1,000 per week within 4 years. We need to make room for all those who have yet to experience the love of Christ among us. Much of our building has been left untouched. There is deferred maintenance, repairs and water leaks, climate control issues, and handicapped accessibility. Addressing these issues will make our building more and more welcoming to those who enter our doors for the first time.
We have a beautiful sanctuary that serves our traditional worship, but there is also a growing preference for an informal style of worship. A new multi-purpose worship space will accommodate and expand this important ministry to another generation. There is little room to connect with those you worship with, Expanding our facility will create wide-open spaces where people will naturally connect.
We are a church that cares about serving our community. Improving spaces designed for service will allow us to expand our ability to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. God's nowhere near done with us. Now is the time.
Now is the time.
Now is the time. Now is the time.
Now is the time.
Now is the time.
Now is the time.
Now is the time.
Now is the time.
Now is the time.